1 Timothy chapter 2 this morning. 1 Timothy chapter 2. If you're just getting to know your Bible, that is in the New Testament, towards the back. You turn to Revelation, kind of work your way backwards. 1 Timothy chapter 2, we'll be reading the first six verses there. If you'll read with me on the even verses, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. If you found it, if you'll please stand this morning. 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 6. Again, I'll read the odd verses, 1, 3, and 5. If you'll read with me, verses 2, 4, and 6 in 1 Timothy chapter 2. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the reading of God's Word. Now we pray, Lord, that you bless the message. Be with our preacher, Lord. I pray you just help us to listen, Lord, with those attentive ears and open hearts this morning. Lord, I pray you just would bless, be with the special and then the message to follow. In your name we pray. Amen.
For he's more. that's beautiful, wasn't it? Outstanding. And better than being beautiful is true. And I'm so thankful that they sang about Jesus because I want to preach about Him this morning. And I want to take verse number 5 as the text and talk about our mediator. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. So that's going to be our subject this morning, is Christ our mediator. Let's pray. Our Father, thank You for the beautiful music that touches our hearts to hear young ladies sing about Jesus and how wonderful and marvelous He is. And now to be able to come and just talk about how wonderful He is in one aspect of His ministry. Just one aspect, one facet. Help me this morning. Fill me with Your Spirit's power. Give us the power to not only speak, but to listen and hear the voice of God today as our hearts need it. And draw some soul close to You, I pray. And we'll thank You for it. We love You this morning. And thank You for Your help in Jesus' name. Amen. If someone were to ask, what is the oldest and longest conflict known to man? I suppose many people would probably answer the Middle East conflict. And for sure, that conflict in that part of the world has endured for centuries and even millenniums. Israel has had a conflict on again and off again, and more on than off, for years and years, dating back to times that are recorded for us in the Old Testament with all their neighbors in that part of the world. Because of that conflict, mediators have been needed to act as go-betweens and attempt to bring peace to the conflict between Israel and her enemies. Who could tell the accumulative number of hours, time that has been invested, time that has been spent in mediation between Israel and those who have come against her. I mean, over and over and over and over again. So, if you were to be asked, what's the longest known conflict to man, and you were to answer the Middle East conflict, you wouldn't be all that wrong. However, there is a conflict that predates the Middle East conflict between Israel and her neighbors. In fact, there's a conflict that goes all the way back to the very beginning of time. The distinction that goes to what is the longest conflict belongs to the conflict between God and man. It's a conflict of epic proportions. Epic proportions. I listed some of them. First of all, think about this. It has been going on the longest. This conflict has been going on the longest. It wasn't long after the creation of the heaven and the earth that this conflict started. God created Adam and Eve, and He placed them in a perfect environment with only one law or one stipulation. Do not eat the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you do, God said to Adam, our relationship dies. That's what He said. Our relationship dies. Well, Adam did. He ate the fruit knowingly. And the relationship between God and him, between God and man, died. And the conflict began. Now, friend, that conflict has been going on now for over 6,000 years. You say, well, I thought the beginning of time was billions and billions of years ago. That's the concept of some uneducated Ph.D., who's trusting in all kinds of faulty material and science to believe that the earth is billions and billions of years old. No, it predates us by about 6,000 years, maybe a little more, okay? And that's scientific, by the way. That's when the conflict began. So it has been going on the longest. This conflict, think about this, it has been uninterrupted. Not only has it lasted 6,000 years, the conflict between God and man has never been interrupted. You know, the conflict between Israel and her neighbors sometimes goes to rest for a little while. And they have some years of peace. But the conflict between God and man has gone on since that first day in the Garden of Eden. In fact, the Bible says in Psalm 7:11, God is angry with the wicked every day. So day after day after day, the conflict between God and sinful man has caused God righteous anger. His laws are ignored. His word is mocked. His truth is denied. All you have to do is spend a few hours out in a public place to see that nobody considers God. Nobody. Nobody considers His laws. Nobody considers His word. Nobody considers His truth. Day after day after day after day, this conflict between God and man goes on uninterrupted. It's never been on again, off again. It has been on since the beginning. So it has lasted the longest. It has been uninterrupted. And let me say this, it has touched every soul. To some degree, this conflict in the Middle East that comes on again and off again has touched millions of lives and some even in death. But the conflict between God and man has touched every person, every man, every woman, every child, every human being. There, hey, no one born of woman from the beginning of time has been exempt from this conflict except one. Except one. And because there has been only one born of woman exempt from this conflict, that means there is only one who can act as mediator between the offended, which is God, and the offender, which is man. And that's what verse 5 plainly says. Look at it, verse 5. The Bible talks about one God, talking about the offended party. You see that there? For there is one God. If you'd like to mark in your Bible, you can circle those words and write the offended one. There is one God, Jehovah God. And then later on in the verse, it says all men. Do you see that? And men in verse 5. And men. That means every person. That's not just the male gender. That's talking about mankind in general. Male, female, red, brown, yellow, black, or white, skin color doesn't matter. It's what's in the heart that gets us. Okay? So you got one God, the offended. You've got all men, the offenders. And then in the middle of the phrase, you've got Jesus Christ. There's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. One mediator, the man Christ Jesus. So plain, so irrefutable, Christ. The anointed Jesus, Messiah, the anointed Messiah, Jesus Christ, is the one and only mediator. So between all mankind and one God stands one mediator. His name is Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful for our mediator this morning. And I want to talk about Jesus Christ, our mediator. Let me give you three things to think about in the message today, and we'll wrap it up. First of all, think about this. A mediator is necessary because there is a divide between two parties. Right? A mediator is necessary because there is a divide between two parties. The word between is used in the middle of verse number 5. There is one God and one mediator between God and man. That means God and man are on the opposite side of this thing. Or a mediator would never have been necessary. Never necessary. And by the way, that word between is a relative word. If I want to gauge the distance between Bradley and Bourbonnais, in some places the distance between Bourbonnais and Bradley is only as wide as Broadway, the street down here. You walk across the street, you go from Bourbonnais to Bradley. That's a short distance. But they're between. That's between them. But when you talk about Champaign, Illinois, the difference between Bourbonnais and Champaign is 70, 75 miles. Now it's further. When you leave the state of Illinois, talk about Atlanta, Georgia, the difference is about 550 miles between Bourbonnais and Atlanta. And when you talk about where Ben and his family live in Madagascar, what is the distance between Bourbonnais, Illinois and Madagascar over there off the coast of Africa? Now you're at 9,800 miles. So the word between is a relative word. The distance between Bourbonnais and Bradley is only a couple miles. The difference between here and Madagascar is 9,800 miles. It really doesn't matter. Whether it's 2 or 9,800 miles, there is a distance between Bourbonnais and those cities. And friend, listen, there is something between. There is a distance between you and God. There is a distance between God and man. And whether you know it or not, sometimes we have the idea, we have this perceived conception that for some people, the distance between them and God is very close because they live such a moral life and they're really a good person and they don't cheat on their wife or their husband and they pay their taxes and they do the right things in life. And because of that, the distance between them and God is really close. close. The truth of the matter is, friend, the distance between any person and God is immense. It's huge. It's immense. It's a chasm. It's a divide. You could take that little word between there in verse number 5 and circle it. That word between is immense. It represents an immense gulf. You know, if a relationship between two parties is in danger or it's a bad condition, you might say, you know what, that relationship between those two businessmen there, that relationship is on life support. Or that relationship between so-and-so and so-and-so is on life support, meaning that it's almost over. It's just barely alive. I want to say something, friend. The relationship between God and sinful man is not on life support. It's dead. It's dead. That's huge. That's immense. That's humongous. But that is the condition of the relationship between God and sinful man. That's what between means, the relationship between God. We are by nature the children of wrath. We are alienated from God, dead in trespasses and sins, according to Ephesians chapter 2. The gulf that divides God and man is tremendous. It is vast. It is deep and wide. You know, there was a day when Adam and God enjoyed a close relationship, but sin put a chasm in it. Adam and Eve enjoyed an intimate relationship. Adam and God enjoyed an intimate relationship, but sin made it incompatible. And there was a day when Adam and God enjoyed a refreshing relationship, but sin ruined it. I'm here to say this morning that the need for a mediator, what it says is there is a division between these two parties. There is a gulf that cannot be crossed between these two parties. And that's why there is the need for a mediator. And the very fact that we need a mediator is indication that we are separated from God. Separated from God. You know, I've never been to the Grand Canyon. We are talking about possibly trying to get there next year in the summertime with Cherith. I don't know that we will. I know many of you, I've flown over it. Some of you have been in it. In fact, some of the folks have gone down in it and back out and hiked there. But I understand that the Grand Canyon is considered to be the world's largest canyon, although some would argue that there is one in China that's even bigger. But I looked up these statistics on the Grand Canyon. It's 277 miles long. Up to 18 miles wide, and the average depth of the Grand Canyon is 1 mile. Now, friend, I don't think we can appreciate the vastness of that separation until you see it with your own eyes. That's what needs to happen to every person. You need to appreciate the vastness of the separation between God and man. See it with your own eyes. The Holy Spirit needs to show you and make clear to you just how broad, how wide, how immense this gulf is between you and God. That's why we need a mediator. There's a separation. There's a separation. Now I want you to think about this as well, Number two. A mediator is chosen only when there is no other alternative. I mean, if there's any possibility of agreement being reached by the two parties working together, a mediator is not needed. But when a mediator is required, it means that there is no other alternate to reach a satisfactory conclusion. Verse number 5 tells us there is only one mediator. Not only is there no other alternative to the conflict between God and man, the only one fit to be mediator is Jesus Christ. The book of Hebrews makes it clear. Three scriptures. Hebrews 8:6, Hebrews 9:15, Hebrews 12:24. That Jesus Christ is the mediator. If a person wants to have their personal conflict with God settled, they will have to go through Jesus Christ. There is none other. Only one. And that means there's no other alternative. It's Jesus or no one. You know, the thing that makes, you know, one of the things that's great about America, and there's several things great about America, and I've been to foreign countries, so I've experienced this firsthand. People love choices. You know what you and I enjoy? Well, I don't do this much. Sometimes I think I went with my wife to the grocery store this past Friday morning for the first time in I don't know how long. And it's dangerous when you take a man who hasn't had breakfast to the grocery store because everything looks good. And it cost her a little more than it usually does to take me. But she said she was glad I went along. So, but I have some things at the house that I wouldn't have had if I hadn't gone. You know what's nice about America? You know what we enjoy about America? You go down the cereal aisle and you know what you have? You have choices. Man, you got the whole thing's full of cereal. You go to a foreign country, you might get two choices. Am I right, Ben? Yeah, you might get two choices. You go down the coffee aisle. And man, there's choice after choice after choice after choice after choice. And then when you get to the creamer, you can have it with French vanilla or hazelnut or amaretto or peppermint or watermelon or anything you want to put in that. That's all there. It's choices. And you know what you do? You go over to a foreign country. I've had to purchase. Anytime I go to a foreign country for a visit, I try to take everything I need with me so I don't have to buy anything. You know that little bottle of Walmart Equate saline solution that was about $1.29? In Bahamas, I paid $8 for that bottle of saline solution in Bahamas when I was with Jason and Heather. Incredible. And when you go to the grocery store, there might only be, you want coffee? There it is. One choice. Take it. We love choice. You know, I get tickled. I don't drink much pop. I think I had one Coke on vacation. I drank one can of classic Coke, not even diet. Enjoyed every drop of it too. But I don't drink it anymore. But one of the things that's nice about America, you go down, you can have Coke, you can have Diet Coke. You can have Coke, regular Coke without caffeine. You can have Diet Coke without caffeine. You can have regular Coke without caffeine and a squirt of lemon. And you can have it with a squirt of lime. And you can have Diet Coke without caffeine, with caffeine. It's all over the place. You know what I'm saying? And we take that for granted. You go to a foreign country and, you know, you might have Coke and Diet Coke. All you Pepsi folks are out of luck. Yeah. It's the choice. It's what we like. Whether it comes to automobiles or airlines or motels. You know, if you don't like Holiday Inn Express, you can go to Fairfield Inn. If you don't like Fairfield Inn, you can go to Hampton. If you don't like Hampton, you can go to Comfort Inn and Suites. And your choice, the choice is out there. It's everywhere. In America, we have that. Even religion in our country is encouraged by what saying? Attend the church of your choice. It's the opportunity to choose. And it is what makes this nation, part of what makes this nation great. But friend, and you know what that does? Choice puts the power in my hands. And that's okay when it comes to cereal or coffee or bread or automobiles or political candidates. It puts the power in my hand. But listen, when it comes to resolving the conflict between a man and God, there is a need for a mediator, and there is no other alternative. The only choice you have is to go through him or don't go. And there's no amount of work. There's no amount of money. There's no amount of merit. There is no amount of anything that will compensate or do other than going through the mediator. You have one choice. It's Jesus, and there's no other choice. And that, friend, I tell you, when a mediator is necessary, that means that there is no other alternative. I want to say this morning before I get off this point, that there is a reason for this, folks. This isn't just happen chance, okay? This isn't just thrown out there, it's Jesus because I want it to be. There's a reason for this. He is the only one who can satisfy the needs of both parties. He's the only one that can satisfy the need that God has, and he's the only one that can satisfy the need that man has. God needs a sinless, pure, spotless, holy man to offer as a blood sacrifice. Man needs a sinless, pure, spotless, holy man as himself to offer as a blood sacrifice. There is only one who can meet that need, and his name is Jesus, because in a man's body flowed the blood of God. Sinless, pure, spotless, perfect, righteous blood. And no other man born of woman can make that claim. He's the only one that can satisfy the demands of both sides in a man's body. He went to the cross and He shed the blood of His Father God. Because even though Jesus was born of woman, His Father was not an earthly man. His Father is God. Conceived in that woman's womb by the Holy Ghost. Which makes Him sinless, spotless, pure, perfect. What God demands, and it's what man needed. We needed a sinless representative. Can anybody in this room fulfill that need this morning? Can you or I stand in for the need that man has? I can't stand in for the need that man has. I've sinned. How about you? How about our parents? How about our forefathers? How about the people that lived in centuries, generations, millenniums before us? There's never been a person born of woman who could meet the need, the demands of God and the needs of man other than Jesus Christ. This is not just some, you know, happen chance. And I get amused by people and then saddened. And sometimes it gripes me. It makes me angry when I hear people say, well, it doesn't matter what you believe. We're all going to the same place anyway. It doesn't matter if it's Jesus or Muhammad or Confucius or what are you talking about? God doesn't just throw things out there and say, whatever you want. God doesn't operate that way. He's an orderly, structured God of plan and design. This is God's design to rescue sinful man. This is God's plan to close the vast gulf between us and Him. His plan is Jesus, because Jesus meets God's demand and meets man's need. There's only one mediator, and His name is Jesus Christ. I was thinking about this week. I was privileged to hear a lot of the great old Baptist preachers when I first got saved. In fact, we were even talking about that a little bit down at the conference this week. But you know, I was also privileged to hear some of the great singers in person. I heard Ray Hart sing. Ray Hart left the Metropolitan Opera to travel with Curtis Hudson and sing in churches. Boy, he had a beautiful tenor voice. Oh my goodness, could he sing. And I heard Bill Harvey sing. Heard him sing in person. And Bill Harvey wrote a song that he entitled My Plea. And listen to the words of Bill Harvey's song. He said, should I at the gates of heaven appear? To answer the challenge, what claim hast thou here? What hast thou to offer? Yea, what is thy plea? Ah, with blessed assurance my answer will be, all that I have is Jesus. All that I claim is Jesus. All that I want, all that I need, all that I plead is Jesus. That's the choice, friend. It's Jesus or nothing. Jesus or nothing. See, when a mediator is required, what that's saying is there's no other alternative here. It's Him or it's not peace. There's no resolve. No resolving this thing. So, and I'm going to say this morning, number three. I want to give a little bit of attention to, but I won't be long. A mediator must have full power and authority to make peace. He must have full power and authority to make peace. The Bible in verse number 2 here talks about a peaceable life. You know that, friend, I'm sure that some people don't even recognize it, but the one thing they want more than anything else in life is peace. Every person is in search of it. Every person. Right here. I'm not talking about peace from guns and bombs. I'm talking about peace in here. Every person is in search of it. And boy, the devil comes along with all of his shams and all of his frauds and all of his alternatives to peace that don't work. You want peace? Here's the alcohol. Drink it. You want peace? Here's the drugs. Take them. Smoke them. You want peace? Here's this kind of lifestyle. Here's that kind of lifestyle. They're all a fraud. Do you know why? He has no power. No. He has no authority to grant peace. I'm not saying this morning that the devil is not a powerful being. I'm saying he has not been granted power or authority to make peace. That distinction, they sang about it. In their song, they used the words. That distinction has been given to the Prince of Peace. And the Prince of Peace is Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what Isaiah prophesied in chapter 7. I think it is in verse number 14. His name shall be called Wonderful, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. What does that mean? A prince has authority. A prince has power. And power and authority has been invested in Jesus Christ to make peace. The devil can't make peace. He has no authority to make peace. Y'all with me? He has no power to do that. You know, it's like you and me making some kind of bravado statement. Well, I'll tell you what I'd do if I could. You know, I would. We can't. We have no authority to do it. The devil has no authority to make peace. None. Oh, but friend, Jesus Christ, the mediator, has the full authority and power of God granted him to make peace. All power is granted unto me, given unto me in heaven and in earth. You know, do you remember the peace? Well, I'm going to skip just a little bit here so I won't go too much longer, but I'll talk about that in a second. I told you I read this book on Henry Kissinger. Man, it really was fascinating. And, you know, if you're my age and older, maybe a little younger than me, Henry Kissinger means something to you. If you're younger than us by, you know, 10, 12 years, he's just a man, maybe a name you've heard from the past. But Kissinger was in the news when I was a kid growing up every day. I delivered newspapers. You know what was on the front page of newspapers every day? In the late 60s, early 70s? Vietnam War. Every day. Atlanta Journal. Every day. You know what was the lead story on the newscasts? Remember, was it Chet Huntley and Dave Brinkley? Good night, Dave. Good night, Chet. Remember that? That's old, isn't it? There's only a few of you smiling. The rest of you are going, hey, man, who in the world's that? How many of you saw that? Good night, Dave. Good night, Chet. Yeah, okay. There we go. Yeah. I don't know. I thought it was Dave. Maybe it was Dick. I don't know. Anyway, they said good night to each other. Long before Jim Bob called out good night to Joe Bob or whatever it is on the Waltons, yeah. I never watched that, but anyway, heard about it. Henry Kissinger, unknown to anybody, went to Paris many times to have peace talks. Between the United States and the North Vietnamese. He represented the President Nixon. And he was given, I was surprised at how much authority and how much power was invested in Henry Kissinger as he negotiated, now watch this, negotiated peace between the North Vietnamese and the Americans. It's incredible. Oh yeah, he had to report to Nixon and he had to give full disclosure of his commentary and the things they talked about and what happened. But you know, he could leave some things out if he wanted to. It was amazing. And I think it was, you know, several secret meetings took place and the American public didn't know about it and they kept it. It was unbelievable what they did. They would have decoy planes, our tax dollars at work, fly off to somewhere and the reporters would write, Kissinger's on his way to so-and-so, when in reality, in the middle of the night, he'd be whisked out to a plane to go to Paris. Keep it secret. Finally, the news reporters were allowed some wind of these secret negotiations between the North Vietnamese and the Americans, and Henry Kissinger became became an icon. He became a pop star. On October 26, 1972, they had, in principle, agreed to how they were going to end the war, get America out of Vietnam, and what was going to happen with South Vietnam and all this stuff. And they had agreed in principle, but it was still under wraps. And the North Vietnamese jumped the gun and let it be known to a pool of reporters that there was a peace document ready to be signed. And it caught Kissinger and all the American administration off guard, and they called a news conference hastily. And Kissinger was the one who spoke, was the spokesman at the news conference, and He was talking about the peace agreement. And he uttered these words. We believe that peace is at hand. That was on October 26, 1972. Boy, the newspapers, news reporters, they wrote that down. And newspaper headlines all across the United States of America in the largest newspapers in the largest cities all caught that. Peace is at hand. Peace is at hand. Peace is at hand. Peace is at hand. Only bad thing about that? Didn't happen. In fact, by December, America was bombing the North Vietnamese again. Do you know why? Okay, I'll give it to Kissinger. Skilled negotiator. Skilled mediator. But Henry Kissinger and his counterpart from North Vietnam, he never been granted the authority to make peace. It makes that Bible verse in Psalms come so alive when the Bible says, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. But I want to tell you something, friend. It nearly ruined him. His reputation, and it nearly ruined him personally. He almost resigned because he made that statement, we believe peace is at hand. They were so close, but yet it never came. And you've seen the pictures in 1975, 3 years later. They're evacuating the personnel from the United States Embassy. And it's a communist country today. But I want to tell you something. Jesus Christ has been granted full authority and has all power to grant peace between a person and God. Any man, any woman, any young person of any color skin who is willing to admit, I am separated from God because of my sin. Jesus came and went to the cross and died to pay that penalty for me. And He is the mediator between me and my Creator. And any man who is willing to go through Jesus Christ will find peace. And brother, do you remember the day peace came to your heart? It may have been as a little child just afraid of hell. Or maybe it was more like me and some of the other folks in the room who are 18 and 20 and 30 years of age. And we even tried some of those things that the devil offered. Here you go. We found out it was a lie. And then we heard and we saw and considered Jesus is the mediator. And we came to Christ and Christ closed the gulf between God and man. And all the peace that comes to your heart. I know you're not saved by feeling. Feelings come and feelings go and feelings are deceiving. My warrant is the Word of God. Naught else is worth believing. But I want to tell you something, friend. When I stood up from the altar of that church in Graysville, Tennessee, back in October of 1975, I knelt a troubled man. I rose a settled man. Whew. And it didn't cost me, it didn't take a pill or a bottle or any other human being. It was Christ, the mediator. Have you been to the mediator? Have you been to Christ? He's the Prince of Peace. He's there because this great divide exists between you and God. He's there because there's no other alternative. It's Him or hell. And full power and full authority are in His hand. I believe peace is at hand this morning for maybe somebody in this room who doesn't have it. right there in the person of Jesus Christ if you'll just make Him your Savior. Our mediator. Aren't you glad for Jesus? Oh yes, ladies, it's saying He's more than wonderful. He's more than marvelous. He's our faithful mediator. Let's pray together. Thank you for listening this morning. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Think about it for a minute. Would you please do that? Please don't shut your mind down. Please don't let your mind wander. Just would you for a minute, would you just think about this? Would you think about this question? Do you have peace? Would you think about this question? Do you need peace? Do you? You might be like me and others in this room. You might have tried the devil's alternatives only to find out that it didn't work. I'm here to tell you, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Full authority and power have been granted to Him. He is our peace. I didn't even realize it until I got to church this morning with the front page of the bulletin. For He is our peace. Who's here today would say, Pastor Angel, I have peace in my heart about my relationship with God and my eternal destiny. I know I'm born into God's family. I know it. I'm assured of where I'm headed when I die. I'm saved and I know it. Would you be honest this morning? Would you be honest? If you can say that in all honesty, would you slip your hand up this morning? I'm saved and I know it. Thank you. Take your hand down. I wonder if there's any here this morning. Several hands across the room. I wonder if there's anybody here this morning. Pastor, I'm not sure. I don't know. In fact, some of what you said this morning is what I've been experiencing. There is no peace in my heart. Pray for me. I'm not sure that I'm born into God's family. I'm not sure where I'm headed when I die. I need peace. Pray for me. If that's your request this morning, I'm not going to call your name. I may not even know you. I'm not going to call your name. I'm not going to make a scene. But I'd like to pray for you in about 60 seconds here. But I can't do it unless you show me. Pastor, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I know where I'm going when I die. I need peace. Pray for me. Would you slip your hand up? Just slip it up. God bless you. Is there somebody else? I'm not sure I'm saved. Somebody else? I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure that my sins are forgiven. My name is recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm not sure I'm saved. I need peace. Think about it. Are you saved? You need peace? Have you tried all the frauds? The Prince of Peace is at hand. His name is Christ. Jesus, the anointed Messiah. Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved. I'm not sure that I'm on my way to heaven. Pray for me. Along with this other, would you raise your hand while you think about it? Father in heaven, I pray for this one, maybe others today who do not know that they're saved. And I pray that today might be the day they give their heart to Jesus Christ and find the peace that they need. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. In just a moment, we'll give the invitation. If you're not sure that you're saved, you just leave your seat. Come right to the front. Don't be embarrassed. Don't worry. People have their heads bowed, their eyes closed. They won't know. Come to one of these men standing here nearest you, and just say, I don't know that I'm saved. They'll get you to somebody that can show you from the Bible how to be saved. I don't know for sure. It'll be the greatest day of your life. That's your choice. You can make it. Wonder who's here this morning will say, Pastor, I'm saved, but I've not been baptized since I've been saved. Pray for me. I need to be obedient to Christ in believer's baptism. Would you raise your hand? Somebody like that here today. I need to be baptized. I need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Okay, very good. If you came today for that purpose, or you want to talk to somebody about that, and during the invitation time you slip out and come, we're happy to talk with you about baptism here at the front. Maybe church membership is your need. You've talked to us about that you want to belong and be a member here. Or you need to do that. You can tell one of these men. We can set up a time to talk with you about church membership. Christian, I hope you're thankful this morning for Jesus, our mediator. Thankful that you were born in a country, maybe in a home, in a place where you could hear the message of salvation, come to the mediator and be saved. Pray for somebody this morning, maybe in this room, who needs to be saved during the invitation. Father, I pray that you'll bless, draw folks to Jesus Christ. We've lifted Him, exalted Him, tried to lift Him up this morning. And He said, if I be lifted up, we'll draw men to myself. We know that's specifically talking about the crucifixion. We've exalted Him this morning, presented Him as the only alternative to the gulf that separates God and man. May somebody receive Christ today, is my prayer in Jesus' name. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. Ladies, you pray. Would you come this morning? Would you step out? Come right down the aisle. Let us take a Bible and show you how to go. I'm sure you're going to heaven. We'd like to do that this morning. That's right. God bless you, sir. Wonderful. Brother Tom, we'll need your help. Super. Would you come this morning? While we wait, heads are bowed, eyes are closed.